feeling good about myself, both mentally and physically, mm-hmm. and just kind of looking at ways where I can maintain a lifestyle where I feel really good about it.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, because it's definitely not a conversation that we're having in our community, you know. And did you, a lot of people, I read somewhere, no, I posted something on Facebook whereby, you know, people are always looking at the issue, but they're not looking at the symptoms, or they're not looking at the cause of whatever it is you're going through. Do you kind of realize where your eating disorder came from? Is this something that you've kind of had an exploration in your mind about how did you get to this point?
Well, I've always been an emotional eater. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I eat when I'm stressed. If I'm ever mad at something, I grab like 2 granola bars, you know. If I was happy, I would, you know, have some snacks for food.
Right.
And it was so, I find it was so integrated with my moods that it was how I navigated feeling things. And that's really hard to unpack and to recognize.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's things, you know, I still got to call myself out on, like, yo, am I eating this because I'm hungry, or am I just, you know, feeling a certain way where I'm just kind of like, this will help this mood pass or something like that,
right,
you know?
Right.
And, yeah, I think for me, that kind of idea was so integrated with myself at such a young age that I kind of grew with it. And, you know, I made mistakes growing up. Not everything I did right, but I don't hold resentment for myself. That's because good. I know I was learning things about myself. I know I was kind of figuring out my own problems, and I still am. And I remember, like, just going back to how I remember that time of my life really well when I was a teenager, when I was around Adrian's age. I hated so much about myself. Mm-hmm. And I used to just judge that self-worth about the numbers on the scale. But just kind of now going back to worthy of love, I understand that regardless of what that scale says, I'm worthy of that love, that appreciation, and, you know, everything else that I deserve. And these days I have more room in my heart for self-love than I did before, and I feel pretty good about that.
That's amazing. And so how did you draw some parallels between you and your character Adrian?
I think me and Adrian are different in a lot of ways, just personality ways. But I didn't want to shy away from that vulnerability that I have. You know, this is such a difficult world to navigate. 100%. As a young Black person, and one thing I always refuse to give up in this world is my vulnerability, because that's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I just never want the world to take away that part of myself, and I wanted that to be a part of Adrian's story too. There are parts in the story where Adrian is mad, he turns into a jerk at some points, mm-hmm. but it comes back to, like, who he is. Like, the kid just needs a hug. You know, the kid just kind of grew up in this world where he feels like he has to be an emotional eater, where he has to worry about people bullying him, where he was never really offered softness or kindness, but he was in this world where you're stuck with this whole man up mentality, which we have to, like, break, you know? It's just like we have to look at ourselves and be honest about our needs and our wants and how we heal one another, you know? We definitely need that peer support, and jumping into that was definitely jumping into that whole idea of masculinity was, it kind of went hand in hand with how Adrian was feeling. And that's something I had to do when I had to really kind of jump into and I really have to confront myself and my emotional eatings, because I feel like that was kind of linked together with me just like ignoring how I was feeling, what I was doing, and just kind of turning to food to thinking that can solve all my problems, which it did not.
No.
But yeah, you know, it was a journey, and I'm still on that journey, but you know, it's something that changes you, and I'm filled with gratitude for my experiences, good and bad, and I was lucky enough to, you know, kind of maybe write a book to help other young people struggle through those same topics.
Yeah. I can imagine that particular thing must have been one of the most rewarding, is being able to have that youth that came to you and was like, hey, this is a story I can relate to.
Mm.
Yeah. And I relate to what you said earlier about like nobody's ever gonna relate to my poetry. Mm. You know, like who's gonna understand what I'm going through? But I find that as storytellers, because I believe that poets are storytellers, the stories are not unique to one individual. There is 7 billion people on this planet. How dare we, as storytellers, what kind of arrogance does it take for us to be like, oh no, my story is so unique that no one else would ever understand. That takes a certain kind of arrogance.
Oh yeah.
And it's humbling to hear, hey, I actually, as a black man, I've been through what you've been through, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of relating to other people, is no story is unique, you know?
It's just so told in a new way.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how you just tell it in a new way that connects to someone on a different level. Like, I chose to tell this story through a young adult fiction lens. It could be another young person that tells a story through spoken word poetry.
Mm-hmm.
It could be someone that tells this through traditional fiction. And it's all about how folks find access to these stories too. Mm-hmm. Like, we look at these genres, what folks are into, and they can find it based on the topics that relate to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are now speaking to Andre Fenton, an award-winning African Nova Scotian author who just traveled across Canada to 7 national poetry festivals. He's a 2015 recipient of the Spirit of the Slam Award and so much more in his young 26 years on this planet. We do have to take a quick break. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3. FM.
I know. Yo, yo. This is Hella Crumb. This is Hella Crumb. It's time to act a fool. This is hella dumb. I'm really wildin'. I'm really wildin'. I could go stupid. I'm most about it. This is hella crumb. This is hella crumb. It's time to act a fool. This is hella dumb. I'm really wildin'. I'm really wildin'. I could go stupid. I'm most about it. You're not getting off. You win for the loss. This is charity. I'll kill for the cause. I'll rip this whole fam. This jab is gold blam. I'm not the Bigelow, but I go bam bam. I should go ham ham. My fuck is dumb dumb. I got extra rounds. Man, we should run some. Man, we should run some. Man, we should run some. I'm the type of monster that you should run from. This is hella crumb. This is hella crumb. It's time to act a fool. This is hella dumb. I'm really wildin'. I'm really wildin'. I could go stupid. I'm almost about it. This is hella crumb. This is hella crumb. It's time to act a fool. This is hella dumb. I'm really wildin'. I'm really wildin'. I could go stupid.
When we first got together, I just wanted to talk. All I want from you is taking money out of all. The lies will beat me to the floor. Violence. It ain't your fist, it's your words. Silence. All in all, don't worry about me. Call and call won't blurry what I see. Camouflage, I see all that you can be. If you drop that bloody bed and fall on your knees, cause bam. By any means necessary, bam. By any means necessary, bam. By any means necessary. Watching fans stack tall, cause it's necessary, bam. By any means necessary, bam. By any means did you get that pay? By any means necessary. Watching bands stack tall, cause it's necessary. Every day, every night, let you make me cry. Never understood like I was the reason. So I creep, been lacking that TLC. Say I ain't with shit, friends got my heart that leave you sick. You see, all in all, don't worry about me. Pops falling forward, but won't flurry my green. Revenge best served, I want my heart back. Avenge more like it, call it a heart attack. Did you get that bag? By any means necessary. Watch them bad sex talk, cause it's necessary.
Hey, yo, my man. What you did to me won't be a plan. For you to mess with her, you see, I'm gonna shut you down before you teeth another crown. Posted that class, you know you could have been that Tiffany's, huh? You and not a this. You the weak one, like, what is this? Ain't no, you had a bomb, chilling over there with a bum. One of them ones who lie on me. I can't wait, cause Benzo's my sis. We each partner on what you did. She said her laugh like all her kids. But did you get that bag? Now watch me get that.
Hell no! Oh, what you want?
Yes, yes, yes. We're back for one final time this evening. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and our guest this evening is an award-winning African Nova Scotian author, spoken word artist, and arts educator who has represented Halifax at 7 national poetry festivals across Canada. He's the 2015 recipient of the Spirit of the Slam Award. He's the author of 2 YA novels, Worthy of Love, that won bronze in the Coast Best Of, and was selected in the Margins for In the Margins annual film recommendation list to highlight best fiction and nonfiction titles focused on youth populations living in marginalized existences. Andre Fenton, thank you so much. I am so grateful that we were able to have this conversation and dive into the topics that we've just deep dived into. You know, we spoke about eating disorders. We spoke about growing up in like a really racialized situation, whereby Halifax, Nova Scotia, is one of the first Black communities, and it's still, even in the early 2000s, going through this racist bullcrap that you know, a lot of people want to be like, oh, you know, racism doesn't exist anymore, and we're a post-racial society. Look, we had Obama as president in the United States. It's like, yeah, but no. And you know, I find it fascinating when people point to Google and they're like, oh, racism, look at Google. If you're talking about white people, then you're racist. And it's like, racism is a power structure. It's not just about not liking people for the color of their skin and their culture. It's really not as simple as that. But you're like, racism is the hatred of a person based on their culture. I'm like, yeah, but no. Anyway, that's a discussion for another time, because that's going to be a whole other hour and a half.
Oh, 100%.
But as I said, I'm really grateful that we were able to dive into some of the topics, because it's not often that we speak to in the Black community about topics such as eating disorders and mental health illnesses, and especially as Black men, to have this conversation. You know, this is not something that happens too often at all. But yeah, you're working on a couple of things. You're working on The Summer Between Us, which is the love letter to Worthy of Love, to the characters in Worthy of Love, and you're working on a feature screenplay that's, you know, you got the NDA, non-disclosure agreement, so you can't really talk about that. So we'll just have to follow you and see where you know, when the information comes out about that.
100%. I mean, I'll definitely be back here talking about it. And yeah, definitely when The Summer Between Us comes back, you know, we'd love to talk about that in more detail too once it comes out. Definitely The Summer Between Us, I'm very, very excited for that release date. It is coming out in April. And I'm hoping I have a book launch in May, which is like my birthday month. I'm trying to like line up the universe to let me actually have this book launch on my birthday. I think that would be wonderful. But maybe I'm being too greedy here.
No, you're not. I'm going to let you know right now. You're not being greedy.
Book launch on my birthday. And I would love that. Because, you know, my last 2 birthdays were during lockdowns.
Right.
And I'm like, yo, I love having birthday parties. I love hanging out with friends and going to restaurants and just, you know, just chatting with folks I haven't seen for a long time. And that's the same with book launches too. You know, you run into folks you haven't seen for a bit. You get to show them your new work. You get to do a little reading. And I definitely, I'm looking forward to all of this stuff coming up. Definitely super, super grateful to be here this evening to talk to you about all these topics, because I find is like writers, we write these books, but we oftentimes don't get too many avenues to really dissect what that means and our inspirations around that.
Yeah.
The occasional reading will come up once in a while, but sometimes folks are like, okay, you got like 2 minutes to talk before you start reading your excerpt of this book. And I'm like, oh no, sometimes I want like an entire hour to talk about it.
Right.
Which, for, you know, shows like this that like, aren't afraid to explore the deeper meanings of things. And definitely, you know, still feeling really, really emotional after we dissected Annika. But, you know, I definitely don't shy away from those kind of like conversations either. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a book I really, really loved and adored, and really proud that I wrote that and it's seen fruition. And along with Worthy of Love. But I follow Annika. It's not too often we see kind of an African Nova Scotian fantasy novel. And I don't know if you've ever seen an African Nova Scotian fantasy novel.
No, I can't say that I have.
Yeah, it was a very beautiful experience to write. And writing time travel is so hard, though.
I love time travel though, because it allows you to do so much, you mm-hmm. know. It allows you to explore. I've written a screenplay whereby the character, and it doesn't seem so much like the character had the ability to time travel, but the character perceived events. And it occurred in real time in a certain way, and then he'd rewind time, and then make the events happen in a different way, or at least that's the perception that you get. And is it a power? Is it just, you know, imagination? But I love anything to do with time travel, like gobbled it up. I mean, I like most of people my age, you know. I was born on 1980, so I'm an old man now. You know, our exposure to time travel was Back to the Future. And I remember I've watched that film, I want to say hundreds of times. That might be an exaggeration, but it feels very close to hundreds of times. Time travel is a beautiful thing. It allows you that freedom to go back, and especially as writers, you know, we can go back and have conversations with people that we miss, that we love, and engage and imagine all the possibilities, you know. Again, I want to say thank you, Andre, for being here and for having this vulnerable, beautiful conversation with me. I think it's beautiful that you're allowing yourself to have these conversations, because it's not conversations that we have as Black men, not very often, and definitely not on a radio station broadcast to the world for the world to hear. So thank you for coming on this journey with me and allowing me to come on this journey with you. Where can people find your books?
You can find my books either through your local bookstore. You can get them ordered in. Chapters, Kohl's, online, through different avenues, straight from my publisher's website. Worthy of Love and the Summer Between Us are on formac.ca. Annika is on nimbus.ca. They're also available through Amazon, and I believe they're available also through iTunes. I think they are, but yeah.
You mean as audiobooks?
Not yet.
Okay.
I totally want them to be, though. I'm definitely going to look into that.
Okay.
You know, I would narrate them. I would love to narrate them. And yeah, wherever books are sold, you can definitely get them ordered in.
Perfect. And where can people reach you if they want to, you know, follow you and find out what you're doing and stuff like that?
Yeah, you could reach me on Instagram at Andre Fenton Author, or you could also reach me on Twitter at Andre Fenton 95.
Perfect. Andre, thank you once again, my brother, for giving us this time. I mean, you know, it's a Tuesday evening, and you know, that's not always easy to carve out, especially with the time difference and all. Mm-hmm. All the best for your 2022, and I am putting all the positive vibes out there for that birthday launch for you. You put it out in the universe, and I'm like enveloping it with positivity to make that come true. And I do hope that it happens for you, in the way that you perceive it. Thank you, brother.
Oh, thank you so much, Ken. This has been a pleasure.
Yes, yes, yes. So if you want to pick up one of Andre's books, wherever you got a book, you know, local bookstores, you can go to Indigo or Chapters. You can go to Amazon, nimbus.ca. If you want to get in touch with Andre Fenton to book him for your school, you know, because we're still in a pandemic. So, you know, zoom it up. At Andre Fenton Author on Instagram, Andre Fenton 95 on the Twitters. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in this evening. We are here every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and you have been listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Fuck your shame, we matter though. Fuck your shame, we still matter, oh. Fuck your shame, we matter though. Standing up for our kings, Black Lives Matter though.
We be protecting our kings, yeah, we be out here protecting the kings, huh? We be protecting our kings, yeah, we be out here protecting the king. Black Panther, that black vibe. Black Panther got black wives. Black Panther got black ties. Black Panther, we black rising. We be protecting our kings, yeah, we be out here protecting the king, huh? We be protecting our kings, yeah, we be out here protecting the king. Black Panther, that's black vibes. Black Panther got black wives. Black Panther got black ties. Black Panther, we black rising.
King with a Q, queen with a K, whatever your preference, just say the name. When he come home, then I'm his relief. If you come for his dome, then I'm in the streets.
Still smoke, but I won't chill. Your jokes seem all too real. You choke when I say the feels. And now you're soaked cause you see my fears. We need to get the focus on melanin popping instead of melanin's dropping. Black men, we see your worth. We built an army, so just say the word.
Fuck your shame, we mad at you. Fuck your shame.
I got the call of Zodi. Zodi, all the Zodiac now holy. See they text the stars and crystal ball emoji. Met last year at Afro Punk in Jersey. Yeah, oh nah.
She gon' look on the sky for confirmation. She gon' look on the signs and constellations. But it's right in front of your eyes, in front of your eyes. But it's right in front of your eyes, in front of your eyes. How many signs he go take before it's real for you? How many signs he go take before it's real for you? Is it too real for you? I give my life, I dey give for you. How many signs he go take for you, Jody? Jody,
Jody. Whose data? Our data. When you're not paying for a product, you are the product. Especially in web and email services, where multinationals compete to manage your communication so they can make a profit off of the private communication you are producing. Coombit is a worker cooperative trying to help small organizations or individuals get their email, website creation, and website hosting services off corporate services such as Google. For more information, contact us at coombit.org or email at info@coombit.org. That's K-O-U-M-B-I-T. We are not on Facebook.
To make an appointment for your booster dose against COVID-19. Visit quebec.ca/COVID vaccine to follow the vaccination sequence plan for your area and book your appointment online. To continue protecting yourself against COVID-19 and its variants, get a booster dose and keep following distancing measures, wearing a mask, and washing your hands. The booster dose, the best way to stay protected longer. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Listening to the Romanian radio show in Montreal, Marca Ro. Ascultați emisiunea de radio Marca Ro pe 90,3 FM CKUT. Professor Schwartz, and thank you for your time, and thank you for being here with us at Marcaro, the Romanian radio show, and not only the trilingual radio show. You're the director of the Office for Science and Society at McGill University. You're an expert in food and water, right?
I hope so.
And it looks like you're one of the best here in Quebec and Canada. Why did you choose this area of activity?
It just evolved. I've always been interested in science ever since I was in elementary school. So I knew that I was going to have that as a career. But it started with just, you know, conventional teaching. And then I started to infuse more and more everyday science into all my courses. And about 40 years ago, you know, I started to get asked to speak to groups of all kinds, and it just evolved from there. And then, of course, I always kind of had my fingers on the pulse of the public, knowing what they were interested in. So I always, you know, emphasize that, and food and water are obviously in everyone's minds all the time, along with medications, you know, and to a smaller extent, cosmetics. Those have also been of great interest. And generally, history of science, because I like to, you know, tell people that if we don't know where we've been, you won't know where you're going. So history is always a part of it, and of course the current events and whatever comes up. And obviously for the last 2 years we've had to deal with this damn virus. So food and water have always been a, you know, major area.
Do you think young people are more interested in this type of information now than, let's say, 30 years ago or 40 years
ago? I think so. Of course, a lot of that is because the information is so much more readily available. 30 years ago, if you wanted to do any kind of research, look into any topic, you'd have to go to the library. These days, the library comes to you, right? Young people, all their students, they're on Facebook, they're on, you know, all the other platforms, Instagram and TikTok and God knows what else. So even if they're not interested, they hear about all of these things, you know, because it's just all over. So it's easier to get interested when you have such a wide scope of information that is available, which unfortunately is also a double-edged sword, because along with all of that high quality information comes all the misinformation and the disinformation. And if you're not sort of scientifically attuned, it's hard to separate the sense from the nonsense, because a lot of the nonsense can sound very sensible.
Yeah, that was actually my question. Like, it's very hard to see what is fake news versus especially with the vaccination, we saw that, like, a lot of false information.
It is very difficult for someone who does not have a science background, because the pseudoscience promoters are unfortunately very good at what they do. They can make it sound very compelling. And these conspiracy ideas can sound logical to people who just don't have the time or the inclination or the know-how to dig into it and to read the original literature. And that's why I always make sure that whatever we are talking about, whatever we are promoting, is evidence-based, and that it comes from the proper peer-reviewed scientific literature, not from hearsay and not from emotion.
Let me ask you, my first question is, how clean is, well, it's not my first question, but anyway, related to the water, and how clean is the water we drink in Quebec or in Canada?
It all depends on how intricately you look. Because today, thanks to my colleagues, the analytical chemists, we have unbelievably sophisticated equipment. We can find things down to the part per trillion range. Now, just to give you an idea of what that means, if you compare the width of a credit card to the distance between the Earth and the Moon, the width of that credit card is one part per trillion, okay? We can find that. Now, here is where the issue comes in. Just because something is there does not mean that it is in any way active, either harmfully or beneficially. That takes a lot more investigation. So in one sense, we are the perpetrators of our own problems, because of the fact that we can find substances down to such small numbers. And the fact is that we are getting to a point where everything is contaminated by everything else, at the degree of part per trillion, because you touch a desk or you touch another person, no matter what, you transfer material which we can find, because we can find it in the part per trillion range. So when we are looking like that, there are hundreds of compounds that are present in any sample of water, because that water has been in contact with soil, it's been in contact with air, it's been in contact runoff from agricultural fields, etc. And then, of course, there's all the sewage that goes into the water, all the drugs that we take and we pee out remnants of, So, of course, one can find all kinds of compounds in the water, and you can scare people about this if you leave out the numbers, if all you say is this was found, okay? But that's not the way real science works. The next question has to be how much? And how does that compare to what we know is potentially toxic or not? And that's not as always so easy to answer, because there are substances indeed that are potentially toxic in very small amounts, lead being a classic example. So even though lead may only be present at 10 parts per billion, which of course is still a significantly larger amount than the part per trillion range, but it's worrisome even at that level. So it depends on which chemical we're talking about and at what dose, and also obviously where in the world you are, because not all water purification systems are as sophisticated as what we have here. In Montreal, we have a very high quality water filtration system. Does it take out every impurity? Of course not. That's impossible to do. No. Does it matter? I think no. I think that in context of everything that we're exposed to, the trace amounts of substances found in the water are not likely to have an effect on our health. I mean, after all, you know, the average life expectancy gets longer every year. So we're not doing everything wrong.
Are our immune systems compromised? Because, yeah, you're saying, you know, the water is pretty well treated and stuff. But however, we see a lot of young people sick, like we're talking about 50% of the Canadian population will have cancer at a certain point, right?
It's not 50%. It's less than that. At most it's about 1 in 3. But what you have to take into account is that cancer is an age-related disease, and as the average as our longevity increases, so will the number of cancer cases. Because indeed, if you live long enough, something will go wrong in the way that cells multiply in the body, and that's when cancer comes about. So what we really need to do is look at age-related cancer rates, which are adjusted for age, and there is no increase. In fact, in some cancers, there's a decrease. Breast cancer rates are actually going down. Overall, when you lump all of the cancers together, the incidence is a flat line. It has not been going up. But the total number of cases has gone up because the total number of people has gone up and people are living longer. But we do not have, as some activists claim, we do not have an epidemic of cancer. I mean, that is just not scientifically correct when you look at the numbers. I mean, obviously, any cancer is worrisome. Now, of course, we want to cut down on that. But water is not the prime source. I mean, fact is that our air is actually more worrisome than the water. There are more potentially carcinogenic compounds that we inhale from the air than that we ingest from the water. We are never going to eliminate this disease because even if you had absolutely no environmental contamination of any kind, every time that a cell divides, there's always the chance that there's going to be an error. And that's how cancer is initiated. So even if there were no carcinogens whatsoever, we would still have cancer. It's a natural part of life. And I mean, obviously, the impetus is to cut down on any kind of potential carcinogen released into the environment. And there certainly are some. I mean, today we're quite concerned about the perfluoroalkyl substances, the PFASs as they are called, because these are found in so many products. You know, in all the food wraps, food packaging, raincoats, firemen's equipment, firefighting foam, and all of these have these polyfluorinated compounds. That's a problem. But now that we know the problem, there are also ways to reduce the release of these into the environment. So it's a struggle because, as I said earlier, analytical chemistry now gives us the possibility of detecting all of these things. But detecting them does not necessarily mean that they're doing harm. That has to be further investigated.
Would you say the organic food is better than the, let's say, regular one? And
also... depends on, you know, what you mean by better. I mean, in terms of organic, there are regulations so that any pesticide that is used cannot be a synthetic pesticide. It can only be a substance that occurs in nature. However, this is one of the biggest myths that is out there, that a substance that is natural is better than a synthetic material. That equation just does not hold. Obviously, arsenic compounds, which have been widely used in organic agriculture as a pesticide, are highly toxic, but they can be used because they occur in nature. When a pesticide is regulated, let's say in Canada or in the US, that regulation is not based on its source, not whether it comes from a plant or from a chemical factory. That is based on what we know about that substance and how it has been studied. So in Canada, the Pesticide Management Regulatory Agency is what guides what can be used. And they regulate organic foods and conventional foods. So if a pesticide is used in organic agriculture, it has to pass exactly the same tests as in conventional agriculture. So there's nothing dangerous about those pesticides, the same way that there's nothing dangerous about the ones that are manufactured in factories either, because they're all regulated the same way. Now, what is true with organic agriculture is that they are not allowed to use any genetically modified food or its component. So if someone is adverse to that for philosophical reasons or for whatever reason, yes, they can choose organic because they're guaranteed not to have any genetic modified components. I don't think that there's any issue with genetic modification. I don't think that there's any problem at all. You know, if you choose for philosophical reasons to avoid GMOs, then you go for organic. Where organic is more likely to be beneficial is that it's more likely to be fresher. Closer to the, you know, organic produce is more likely to be sold closer to the time that it was picked. But I don't think that nutritionally there's a significant enough difference to compensate for the price difference. And, you know, studies have shown that consumers who eat only organic actually eat fewer fruits and vegetables because of the expense that is involved. And one thing that we certainly know nutritionally is that fruits and vegetables should be our focus. And the more of these you eat, the better. So if someone restricts their fruit and vegetable intake because they want organic and they can't afford it because it's too expensive, they're not doing themselves good.
Does the government do a good job checking the food and the everything we eat? Or,
well, obviously it has to be done on a random sampling basis. You know, not every apple that you eat can be tested. I've certainly worked with PMRA and with the regulatory agencies in Canada. I know how they work, and they do as good a job as it is possible to do. And it is a very, effective statistical way that they do this. And it's very rare that you find, you know, pesticide residues above accepted levels. Imported products are checked the same way. It may come from China, but it has to abide by Canadian regulations. Is it possible that a shipment of some tainted food gets through? Of course it's possible, because we don't have a perfect system. But I think the system is very good. Food-related illness is, percentage-wise, it's a very, very low percentage. I mean, what we really worry about most there is microbial contamination, you know, bacterial contamination, viral contamination. And it's rare that that happens. You know, the greater concern is residues of tiny amounts of other substances that get into the food. You know, the phthalates from plasticizers, the tiny plastic particles, you know, microplastics, residues of various industrial components, and, you know, residues of medications, I mean, which are there in almost vanishingly small amounts. But whether or not cumulatively they may pose a hazard, it's almost impossible to determine.
Professor Schwartz, how can we protect our immune system? Is there any way any recipe to protect our immune system, do the right thing?
First of all, you know, the immune system is a very, very complex network of organs and of different kinds of blood cells. And you know, so this idea that you hear so much about these days to boost the immune system, this is not a scientific term. This is a marketing term. You can boost a car battery. You can boost a Wi-Fi signal. You can even boost your muscles by doing exercise. You can't boost the immune system. This is not one entity that you can boost. The best way to make sure that your body functions properly is to combine a healthy diet with exercise. This is what we know. Now, the question is, what is the healthy diet? And the more and more we learn about diet, the more and more we discover that it is a mostly plant-based diet. And you know, I mean, that is something that is not so convenient to hear for most people, certainly in North America, because they've grown up with the quote Western diet, you know, with the hamburgers, the hot dogs, the pizzas, whatever. But we're learning that that's not the best diet. And the closer we are to a plant-based diet, although I don't think it's necessary to be exclusively, but I think the Mediterranean kind of diet is what we are focusing on, where the main building blocks are whole grains and then fruits and vegetables and olive oil, which seems to be significant, and smaller servings of red meat. That's where all of the research is pointing. So if we emphasize that with exercise, I mean, unfortunately, we can't bottle exercise, but it's the dynamic duo is exercise combined with the proper diet. But again, you know, even when we talk about the Mediterranean diet, I mean, people tend to you know, oversimplify that. There's not one Mediterranean diet, right? People in Lebanon don't eat the same way as people in Italy or in Greece. But I mean, there are some common features, and olive oil is one of those common features. And also that they eat more fruits and vegetables and less red meat. That's really the common feature. And there are diets now that we refer to as anti-inflammatory diets. Okay, and these are the diets that are linked to immunity. Now, how do we know what is an inflammatory or anti-inflammatory diet? Because, I mean, inflammation is really the body's way of fighting invaders, right? Inflammation is the practical aspect of the immune system. That's how the immune system works, is by triggering inflammation and the release of white blood cells, which will then eat up bacteria, they'll eat up viruses, etc. Well, there are various ways that we can measure the level of inflammation in a body. These are so-called markers of inflammation. And these are things like the C-reactive protein or the sedimentation rate, certain proteins like interleukin-6. These are all markers of inflammation. So there have been a number of studies where they have sampled people's blood, measured these markers, and looked at their diet. And that's how we can say that people who eat a lot of fruits, a lot of green vegetables, little red meat, have lower markers of these inflammation. So there is scientific evidence for these so-called anti-inflammatory diets. But the diet that we recommend is an anti-inflammatory diet, or you know, a diet that makes sure that our immune function works as best as possible, is the same kind of diet that we've been recommending to reduce the risk of heart disease, to reduce the risk of cancer, reduce the risk of diabetes. The overall diet is mostly a plant-based diet. And, you know, but that's a hard message to get across to North Americans. And also, you know, the idea that replacing a meat-based hamburger with a plant-based hamburger, that's a major improvement. That's not necessarily the case. You know, you always have to look at the overall diet. So we know what to do. It's just getting people to do it.
personally, what do you prefer, bottled water or tap water?
I use tap water, although I do run it through a Brita filter simply because I find that it improves the taste somewhat. But I have no issue with drinking tap water. I have an issue with bottled water, not for the quality of the water, but for the bottles, because this is an environmental disaster. The first of all, to squander petroleum reserves, which are, you know, not unlimited, on making the plastic used for the billions of bottles that are consumed around the world, and the improper disposal of those bottles, because only about a quarter of them are recycled. The rest end up being thrown into garbage. They end up in landfills, or they end up in the oceans, where from the buffeting of the waves, they break down and eventually they become microscopic particles, which are a real issue. So for me, that's the problem with bottled water. It's not the water, it's the bottle.
Thank you very much, Professor Schwartz. And what would you like to send a message? I mean, to our listeners, what would be your message to our listeners?
Well, I think emphasis on what we've been talking about is that diet is important, and it is something that we can control. And obviously our body functions based upon what we put into it, because food is the only raw material that ever goes into our body. So it pays, you know, attention to give to food and water. But you don't have to be neurotic about it. Our food supply and our water supply in North America is very good. You just have to know how to choose properly. And you can choose properly. You go into the supermarket, you should spend most of your time around the periphery of the store, you know, where you have the fresh stuff, not in the middle where you have all of the boxed things. So it's getting people to do the right thing, and especially getting them to exercise. That's really where the effort has to be. And of course, education is constantly an issue, and to learn how to separate myths from facts, which is a very difficult thing to do for people who are not scientifically minded, and, you know, who've not had extensive science backgrounds. So I would say that, you know, you have to feed your mind as well with the right information, and be aware of the fact that there are a lot of people out there who are giving the wrong information because they have money to make off of it. And you have to be careful listening to anybody who wants to sell you something. And, you know, if they're marketing a supplement, be careful about everything that they say, because what they want to do is snare you to buy the product.
Thank you very much.
Ascultați emisiunea de radio Marcaro pe 90.3 FM CKUT. Hi, everybody, listening to the Romanian radio show in Montreal, Marca Ro.
Astăzi, pe la 5 mă văd cu ea. Nu știu ce mă așteaptă, poate pe la 8 e cu altcineva. Iubirea e nedreaptă. Acum că ai ajuns departe, vreau să te întreb. Mă iubesc sau mă iubesc? Am o dragoste de dat, nu de închiriat. Oare cine te-a vrășit? Eu cu tine și bine cât de mult am cheltuit. Mă iubesc sau mă iubesc? Cine e vinovat? Am o dragoste de dat, nu de închiriat. Oare cine te-a vrășit? Când m-ai părăsit? Eu cu tine. Astăzi, pe la 5 mă văd cu ea. Nu știu ce mă așteaptă, poate pe la 8 e cu altcineva. Iubirea e nedreaptă. Acum că ai ajuns departe, vreau să te întreb.
the case of symptoms similar to those of COVID-19, such as fever, cough, sore throat, loss of taste, or smell, you should take a rapid home screening test. If you test positive, isolate yourself at home and please follow the self-isolation instructions. If you don't have a rapid home screening test, please self-isolate for the recommended period. Visit quebec.ca/self-isolating for complete instructions on how to protect yourself and others. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Good evening. The time roundabout now on your dial should read 9 p.m. You're listening to Hotel de Blues here on 90.3 CKUT FM. Broadcasting, of course, from a small wee little house nestled on the side of Montreal's Mont Royal on unceded Mohawk territory. I'm your host for the next couple of hours, Vishwa Ramakrishnan, about to play for you some of my favorite blues hits, associates, and affiliates. To get tonight's program started off, here is Carla Thomas playing Red Rooster.